More Talking Heads, as we had Stephen Tobolowsky on the line with us, who was the inspiration behind the song Radiohead. It is a Tech Tuesday, and on the line with us right now, executive editor at CNET News, it's Ian Schur. Ian, how are you?
Hi, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm freaking out because I got alerts yesterday about net neutrality and things are happening, and I got to be honest with you, Ian, I don't know what any of this means. Should I be worried? What's going on?
Sure. So this is a philosophical debate that has become very public. The basics of net neutrality are very easy. The idea is that if you are supportive of net neutrality, you say all internet traffic should be treated equal, whether I'm going to YouTube, Netflix, or to a blog or to my email. And the problem is that there are concerns that Verizon, Comcast, AT&T, whomever, is going to try to use their power as the people who deliver internet to all of us to make money by setting it up so that Netflix has to pay them extra to get access to you, or that that YouTube has to pay extra, or whatever. And so people who support net neutrality say it should be completely open, and you know, the internet should just be a dumb pipe to go wherever you want, just like a road is. And other people are arguing the opposite. Now, the Obama administration, you may remember, passed rules that made net neutrality basically a law, right, a regulation, and the rules of the road, if you will. And then the Trump administration, just in December, reversed that. So now we are at, yesterday was the day that the rules went into effect. Net neutrality was quote-unquote over, although there are some administrative things that are holding things up from actually getting implemented. But, you know, a lot of this is a philosophical debate. No one's actually doing anything that makes, you know, makes it bad right now. It's the concern
right
that
now,
it could happen.
Right now, though, yes. Is what scares me, because things could completely change at any given time.
Well, yes, anything could change at any time, right? But definitely, you know, the concern is that, look, there's a lot of people looking very closely at AT&T and Verizon and whatever they do. And if they start acting badly, you know, the Trump administration say, well, that's why we have the Federal Trade Commission. They will go and they will slap rules on AT&T and Verizon if they do badly. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, a lot of people want to make sure that there are basically rules for how the internet should work, because that's, you know, the free and open access to the internet is what's allowed it to thrive. And allowing people like AT&T and Verizon to basically set who's a winner and loser is a dangerous thing in a lot of people's eyes. It's going to be interesting to see whether or not that actually ends up happening. It's worth noting also that in response to all of this, states like California and Washington and a bunch of others have already set their own net neutrality rules. And some governors are even doing it by fiat. They're basically saying, if you want to do business with the state of California, you have to follow net neutrality. So one way or another, we're kind of getting it. It's just that the Trump administration doesn't want to be the one enforcing it.
Ian, with the state laws, though, is it represented by the state that you're in when you're visiting the internet, or is it the company that where they're based?
Good question.
That is the question of the day, and let me tell you, it's a smart question. It is so unclear. You know, one of the beauty parts of the internet is you can be anywhere in the world and you can still get the internet, right?
Sure.
So what are the rules for how this works? Nobody knows. You know, Facebook, Google, Apple, right? They're all based in California. So if California has a net neutrality rule, does that mean everything they do should be treated that way? I don't know.
Wow.
It's going to be very interesting to see. Well, you know, no one's enforced this, right? It's all theoretical. But, you know, I think what's going on more than anything is that the states are trying to tell the government, you know, the federal government, hey, you have to do this. And by the way, voters overwhelmingly support it. It's like,
sure,
80% of voters want this. So it's not like this is a no-brainer, right? It's an easy decision, but there's still a lot of debate going on.
We have a cafeteria here in the Tribune Tower a cash register, basically, a computer, and you can go, I go get my hummus in there and my Diet Coke, sometimes a Cheez-It package, and I am on my honors.
I'm with you. I like all those things.
That's my little snack.
Yeah.
We should have snacks together, Ian. So
absolutely.
It's an honor system, and I have not cheated it because I'm sure there's a camera on it, mm-hmm. and I'm just an honest person, and I've always wanted to be a checker at a store. That's my dream job. But there's no one there checking on me. Are people ripping this place off, and is that going to be happening other places where there's cashierless stores?
You know, it's a real question. One of the interesting things we're looking at this week at CNET is the future of money and payments. And we're actually looking at all these different ways because there are, for example, Amazon, you may remember, built a grocery store in Seattle that doesn't have checkout registers. And literally you walk in and you take what you want and you walk out and it automatically charges you. It's so weird.
That is so weird.
The future of money, you know, is really that hopefully Silicon Valley wants to get rid of our wallets, which, by the way, I am 1,000% behind.
Me too.
I hate my wallet.
All right.
And so it would be great if everything we needed was with us. So they're all trying different ways. For example, paying at the pump, right? You usually need a credit card or cash. Well, now car companies are actually starting to build technology into the car that will talk to the pump automatically and pay while you're sitting there, right? The car can pay, right? Because it knows who you are. There's other stuff like paying with your thumbprint to just like you do with an iPhone or with an Android phone through Apple Pay or Android Pay or Samsung Pay or whatever, right? To start doing that more. There are experiments going on with putting in chips in people's arms. That's a little more extreme, but there are all these different ideas floating around. And I think the beauty part and the really fascinating part is that we feel like we're on the cusp of finally getting rid of all this plastic we have to carry around, which I am so behind.
I know they make front pocket wallets for men, so they're not as bulky, but it would be...
Well, not only that, better for your back. Well, I went to a front pocket wallet, and my back is bad. I needed that, and it's been way better.
How big was your wallet? And I know that's a personal question.
That's very personal, Ian. You don't have to answer that.
Look, I'm not George Costanza. I'm just
saying
that, all right?
And, Ian, true or false, Amazon says that they've come up with a way to deliver packages to your car. Is this something that was a huge issue in the past, that we need packages delivered to our car?
Yeah, so what Amazon is trying to do is find all of these different answers for how to make it easy to deliver. You know, one of the hardest parts, and the reason FedEx and UPS and USPS have jobs, is that logistics, getting packages to our homes at a reasonable amount of time, is super hard. It's like mind-blowingly complex, even though it seems very simple. And so one of the things that Amazon's looking at is the possibility of bringing a package to you wherever you are. Well, that's really hard, right? Because nobody knows where you are all the time. So they're trying to come up with all these different experiments to figure it out. We'll see whether it goes anywhere. You may remember also Amazon was testing how to deliver a package into your home. Package theft, right?
Yes.
So, you know, they had this electric, a camera and then a doorbell that they could control and all that stuff. And a lot of people are like, I don't want a stranger in my home. But then you don't have to worry about your package getting stolen. So it's a give and take. So Amazon's testing all these things. Nobody knows how it's going to play out, right? Maybe the future is that a drone just drops it on your head from wherever. I don't know. But I'm happy to see at least that there's experimentation and attempts at fixing this. Because I hate having to be home for a package, or God forbid I'm not there, and then they say, oh, pick it up at this facility across town, and suddenly it's more trouble than going to the store and buying it in the first place.
But Ian, what about this? What if you're Amazon and you go into somebody's house to deliver a package, you run the risk of a dog attacking you or somebody not knowing there's
Absolutely.
A package coming and shooting you when you walk through the door?
I'd like them to let my new puppy out while they drop something off. Maybe I can make arrangements.
Well, let the puppy out, but then who's going to let it in, right? This is a fundamental question that Amazon has to answer. And by the way, if they have drones flying and they fly over someone's farm and that farmer is like, I don't want a drone over my farm, they might have the right to shoot it down.
Oh yeah,
all of these questions there, right?
Wow.
And nobody has the answers. So look, the reality is that the good news is that Amazon is being very public about this. They are telling us they're testing this stuff. They're being overly communicative so that if your home is one of those ones, you have to set it up anyway to allow someone into your home to drop off a package. Odds are you're going to know, right? But in the future, in theory, if this plays out and everyone suddenly allows Amazon into their homes, what does that mean for how safe we feel in our homes? What does that mean for, you know, possibility of, as you said, a dog attack or shooting someone or whatever? There are all these questions out there and nobody has the answers yet.
I can't tell you how much I love Amazon. I have a 15-year-old who always needs some kind of a cord or something. And if you spend over 40 bucks, you can get same-day delivery, and you can track on the app how many deliveries you are away from it. Wow. I mean, it's amazing. Wow. It really is. Ian, thank you so much.
Look, Amazon, yeah, absolutely.
Go on. Amazon.
I was going to say, Amazon really has figured out the customer service end of this stuff. And made it just so that people really understand how their packages and how stuff is delivered in a way that no company has before. And I think that's why people like you really love their service. They're just very good at this stuff.
They are really. They know what they're doing. All right. Well, yeah. Hopefully Amazon will bring you an even smaller wallet. That's what we're hoping, Ian.
I love it.
Thank you so much. Executive editor at CNET News, he's Ian Schur. And Tech Tuesday is sponsored by Illinois Tech Stewart School of Business.